I need you to know this thing. This thing, which is the title of this podcast, so hopefully you already know this thing since you pressed play, but you are set apart. You are set apart for such a time as this. And this conversation with Nash Amber, who is a fashion and lifestyle content creator based in the UK, it's gonna wreck you. I really think it is. I think it's gonna call you higher. I think it's gonna bring you to a level of attention in the kingdom and in culture that is going to perplex you, and it's gonna perplex others. There's gonna be an attraction quality, a magnetism quality, because you are gonna rise to the occasion of being in entirety from the inside out and the outside in, a daughter of the King. This is a conversation about fashion, yes, but it's also about being fashioned. Always Becoming, right? You guys know my book. I hope you have it already. Always Becoming, Sex, Shame, and Love. It's literally premised in this concept. Every part of the story that she was sharing, I'm like, yes, yes, that was me, yes. And so there is a break-free opportunity in this conversation, and I know that it was an anointed time, and it's going to be a time for you to say, yeah, I am set apart. Welcome to the Fit and Faith Podcast. FIT is an acronym representing founders, innovators, and trailblazers who are looking to live a life wholly, fully, authentically, and truly fit. A space for us to connect on the raw, real stories of mind, body, and soul alignment of entrepreneurs and kingdom leaders. I'm your host, Tamara Andress, and this podcast isn't like the cookie cutter interview experience. I've been coined the entrepreneurial rabbi, and so we do go there, unscripted. No matter how far, wide, deep, or high the there is, my desire is to see people rise from the inside out into their greatest calling by sharing their truest stories, talents, and tips. As a purpose activator and brand builder, I believe our successes and failures are derived from who and whose we are, not what we do. But strategy and vision are equally as important to the mission. So let's cut to the chase together and get fit in faith. Hello, hello. Welcome, Nash Amber, to the Fit and Faith Podcast. I am so honored to have you here today, all the way from the UK.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me, Tamara. I'm really excited for this conversation. So thank you.
It's gonna fold out beautifully. You guys have to know that when there's tech involved, life involved, motherhood involved, entrepreneurship involved, sister, wife, mom, friend, all these things involved, it doesn't always go according to plan. So this is our first podcast together that was supposed to happen yesterday. But I know for such a time as this, God has it ordained for this experience. And so I can't wait to just unpack it and to also recognize that there is grace abounding in situations that unfold in life. And I think oftentimes we feel that sense of shame or worry when we miss out on an opportunity. And in fact, this door opened beautifully because somebody else canceled and changed, and we got to still have the exciting conversation that I know this is going to be. So thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me. Honestly, it's an honor. And also just for all the different changes that happened. Thank you for just being so gracious. I'm really grateful.
Absolutely. So I am so excited because you're an influencer, a content creator, a marketer of all sorts. But one of the things that I was really drawn to by you is this idea of being set apart within the stylizing world, right? And style and fashion to me are so important. And so I immediately was like, yes, we're having this conversation, but I want to hear like the backstory, because I could create my own storyline to this entire idea, but I want to hear the backstory of how you got to do what it is that you're doing, and even how your faith is intertwined in it.
Of course. I think this is like the question that everybody asks, like, how did you get started? I feel like it was a little bit by accident, but it was also that discovery journey in my faith with Christ. It started from years ago, like 11 years ago, with the world of Facebook, before Instagram was what it was, and YouTube and TikTok and all the rest of it. It was Facebook. And I used to constantly change my profile picture on Facebook to the latest look that I'd put together when I went out, you know, when I went to church or when I went to my friend's birthday. I was, you know, like a lot younger, in my 20s and stuff. So it was kind of like, oh, let me just share my expression of fashion. And coming from coming to Christ, of course, my dress sense changed. And I guess I didn't actively look into modesty, but it was a part or something that just happened. I just wanted to wear things that are a little bit longer or a little bit looser, but still looked, you know, classy and edgy and still showed my personality, but in a new way. And yeah, it kind of just started from there, really. And then I had people constantly asking me, where do you shop? Where do you get your stuff from? And people saying, this is needed, like fashion for Christian women is needed. We need to discuss this topic. And I was thinking, why would anybody want to hear from me? Like, just why? Because I was thinking, I'm not always shopping, you know, designer goods. And I don't think at that time I saw it as a gift. And I think that's what I said, it was a discovery journey. I never realized that styling could be a gift that could be used to glorify God, because in the church we were so used to the conventional gifts. Are you a teacher? Are you an evangelist? You know, are you into, you know, like worship and singing? Are you an usher? Those types of offices or positions were very common. But to say, hey, I style for the glory of God, like, who was doing that? So I was very, it was a very like challenging discovery to realize that I'm a creative and that's how I bring glory to God. But I've always had it in my heart of hearts. And so it just kept shining more and more. And the more I did it, more people would be like, that outfit, it just ministered to me. You look so good. Wow, I didn't know Christian women could look this good. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. And yeah, so it's been a journey, but that's kind of how I got started. And then I just, one thing led to another. Blogging led to YouTubing led to Instagramming, led to where I am right now.
This is so cool. I think what a lot of people are going to gather from this is that it's often two things. One, what mm-hmm. you naturally and organically evolve to, right? Like there mm-hmm. was not really this huge trying. It was more of like, it fell into your lap. Now, I don't think that you didn't associate that to work, or you didn't associate yeah. that to doing or serving, or how do I show up in this? Because it still mm-hmm. takes time. Entrepreneurship surely does. But also mm-hmm. the recognition that in that is gifts are not necessarily gifts and talents associated to the church have been limited. And while I think mm-hmm. that there is still the fivefold ministry of what you were speaking yes. to, prophetic yes, and all vision and all of those pieces, pastoring, evangelizing, but it's this knowing that our gifts and talents are intertwined into those ultimate. Yeah. So that's the top tier segment. And then you're right below it in the, I evangelize through style. I evangelize through whatever that be, right? Coaching yeah. or ministering or helping businesses launch. And so yeah. I think it's really powerful. And if people could unlock that for themselves, they would probably be doing something drastically different than what they're doing.
Yes. And I definitely agree with that. I think it's been a discovery, a journey for me, but I think God has used so many people within the body of Christ, and some even not, like he's used my work colleagues to be like, Nash, like, how do you do all these hairstyles? Like, you need to be showing me how you do this. And I'm just thinking, I didn't think it was such a big deal. But then the more questions I've had, the more I realized, no, these are genuine questions from people that honestly want to know. So, yeah. you know, just realizing that, Nash, don't downplay what you have just because it's not the norm.
Yeah. And I think when people are consistently asking you, that's like a white flag, not a red flag. It's a green flag mm-hmm. saying like, you need to lean into this. This is something yeah. that you're valued for. Yeah. And fashion is literally a part of every single person's life.
This There's everybody,
not anybody, whether they say they're fashionable or not, or stylish mm-hmm. or not, maybe, yeah. maybe not, but that doesn't mean that they're not capable of. Like being when people say they're uneducated, like, are you uneducated? Maybe mm-hmm. you're street smart in a way that I'm not street smart, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that there is just a lens in a ways that oftentimes our language towards even our fashion can inhibit us from what God is calling us to do.
Absolutely agree.
So talk to me about this conversation of modesty in the church, because I have pastors who grew up in a Pentecostal church in the middle of Arkansas, and they had like, you had to have long sleeves on if you were a guy, you had to have no jeans allowed in church, no way. The dresses had to be ankle length, the hair could never be cut. How did you go from what your traditions were, or what the church you thought suppressed women, especially women, I think, into this idea of fashion? How did you step into that without even really recognizing it? You said you came to know Christ and then modesty just kind of became. I would love to know that, because it's a similar journey for myself.
Yeah, so for me, it came from actually being absolutely fascinated with this idea and the part of God's nature of him being holy. And verses that talk about be holy as I am holy, and just all of the holy priesthood. I was just like, holy nation, and we are a royal priesthood. I'm like, these words sound so amazing, so poetic, but what do they mean? And sometimes in the church there were words that are thrown around. It's, the holiness of God. And I was just like, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. And so I went on a journey of looking at what does holiness mean, and understanding, purity, and how Christ wants me to be pure from the inside out. And he doesn't just want purity for me, but he wants it for my brothers and my sisters alike. And some of the things within our kind of culture, popular culture as well, that can sometimes come directly against that kind of purity that Christ desires for us to have. So then it kind of compromises our identity in being holy. So it's not that we do things to become holy, but it's like that is your new identity in Christ anyway. So it's more, are you walking in accordance to what you've been called to, this new life in Christ? So for me, that journey of, wow, I'm set apart. So I'm different. I'm not better, but I'm different. Okay, what am I different from? What am I set apart for? Why am I set apart? What does it mean to him? And these were the questions I had. And the more I questioned, the more things in my life were just, I was being convicted on different things, whether it be my attitude, whether it be my clothing, how I speak to people, how I respond to situations. So it wasn't just one area, it was across the board. I was being challenged on, are you responding according to your new nature? Are you living according to your new nature? And so from that, the fashion element, it's like I would put a top on and I would just feel it. I would know. I would just know this is not appropriate. Nobody told me. Nobody told me off. Nobody was like, what are you wearing, Nash? Myself, well, not myself, but the Holy Spirit really spoke to me and showed me, does this align with your new nature? And just those questions, those gentle questions, caused me to be able to answer myself like, no, it doesn't align because this is who I am now. This is who I was. And I've always been into fashion. So God just seeing that fashion is in Christ, like he fashioned us, as the Bible says. And I think about how the first fashion stylist that ever was after sin was God, who clothed Adam and Eve after they tried to make their own clothing and it wasn't obviously covering and working for them. God was like,
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I've never heard
yeah.
this.
Like you obviously you don't have a good you don't have a lovely clothing, and he's clothed them on a practical level. So it's just these little nuances through the scriptures, you see it weaved in. You see how even in the Old Testament he was with the priests, they had to wear a particular linen, and there was all of these things where how you dressed really spoke volumes for who you are. I think in our culture now, it's not always the same anymore. Unless you're like a police officer or, working as a paramedic, then we can see what you do. But most times, our clothing doesn't speak as much as it used to. But in my journey, just the more I kind of was leaning into my new identity in Christ, the old man was dying. And so those desires started to die. And I was like, I know how I want to look. Like I know what I want to say through my clothing, and that's not what I'm trying to say. So I started picking clothing that showed what I'm trying to say, which is this is the new version of Nash. This is who I am. And so that's why I just started doing things. So other people said to me, "You're so modest with your clothing. You're so mo I never studied modesty. I studied Jesus and he made me modest." So for me, that's been my journey into it. So whenever I talk about fashion and modesty, I can't not talk about Christ's transforming power in me because he never taught me about clothes. He taught me about himself. Do you see what I mean?
I
So,
totally see
yeah.
what you mean. And it's a new perspective that I have never heard. And I've also been super empowered by fashion in this way. But since I was little, of like almost like dress how you want to feel. And I encourage people to do that all the time because a lot of times we are, especially in mom life, you know how this is in the midst of having a 2-year-old toddler. Mine are a little bit older now, but I remember like it was just way more easy to put on the yoga pants and the mom bun. And by the end of the day, midday, I would feel just more tired. I would feel, oh, I haven't even showered yet. I felt messy. I felt run down. And then as I started to transition into supporting their school and doing my entrepreneurial endeavors, I would just get dressed up. And I did this since I was little. I mean, my mom actually instilled growing up that every week we had to choose 2 days to wear dresses. Okay. Didn't matter. That was like the rule. We had to wear dresses 2 times a week. My brother had to wear something other than jeans or sweatpants 2 times a week. So he would wear like, you know, khaki slacks or something like that. And when the rule kind of simmered away, when we got to high school, I still did it because people, it wasn't because of what people said, but it was how I felt based in what they said, right? And based on how I showed up in that identity. And so I really love the comparison of understanding that when you become more Christ-like, he makes you more Christ-like. And it's in that becoming journey that you step in and empower every realm of self. And the inside out, rather than the outside in, which is the way cultural norms have made it, right? It's about body image. It's about if you're not wearing this, then you're not stylish, or you're not cool, you're not pretty, or you're not sexy, or you're not any of these things. And I think the biggest thing with that is the sexuality piece, the purity piece, and the body image piece. Because sexuality, purity, and body image, while there's that association to what's happening from the outside in, a lot of it is just stemmed in insecurity. And so talk to me through how, as you've become more modest or more Christ-like, whether modesty is probably not the word that you're like, I'm not becoming more modest, because if you become more modest, you're going to get a turtleneck up to your face like me. But no, it's this, do you feel like you've created or have a more empathetic lens to people who are choosing to wear pop cultural normed clothes based on their lack of connection to God?
I definitely think yes, yes, definitely for those that don't know the Lord, definitely, because I think you don't know what you don't know. And so over time, I've had to, again, that's what I spoke about earlier when I said more, becoming more Christ-like wasn't just a clothing issue. It was even a how do you perceive other people who are not on that journey of faith, and having to not be judgmental and be like, why is she wearing that? And this and the other, that I've had to also outgrow and learn the approach and the heart posture I'm supposed to have towards those that don't know any differently. And I think a lot of my kind of sharing and my platform, I kind of learned quite quickly that it wasn't for the world. I wasn't speaking to the world, and I wasn't speaking about a standard that the world knows about. And it's not really a standard for them. It was more a standard for the body of Christ. It was more of a standard and a call for those that have already said a yes to Christ, who have already surrendered, have already said, my life is not my own. So this topic of dressing for his glory is for us believers rather than saying it to the world. So for the world, I have compassion for them in a different way than I have compassion for women who are within the body of Christ, but still choose to dress more towards popular culture, not because there's different reasons. Some people, it's budget. Some people, it's just lack of knowledge on their body shape, what works, et cetera, et cetera. Some people, it's, you know, it's the fact that they need healing from this conversation of modesty. They've been bashed and bashed and bashed so much, they don't want to hear anymore about it. So I understand that the trauma and the hurt behind the conversation puts them off from the conversation. And then you have those sisters that are just like, hey, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I don't want to hear it. And that's a whole different heart posture.
Also, God loves me anyway.
God loves me anyway. And that's also a different heart posture that still needs to be addressed through the lens of scripture. So for me, it's like, it reminds me of the parable of the sower. You know how it speaks about a sower was sowing some seeds. Some fell on the wasteland, some fell on good soil, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like the different hearts reveal the different places people were within their journey of faith. So for me, it's like within our journey of faith, our heart posture, like our heart, the soil of our heart will be shown in the way we respond to these different life choices. And this fashion one just seems to get people very upset.
I love it. Well, it's, I don't think it's, it's a conversation that's easy to have, in my opinion. Yeah. And it's a conversation that is also not had, right? It's easy to have, and yet nobody talks about it. They just kind of pass it off as a part of normal. Oh, they're just young. Oh, it's just cultural norm. Oh, that's the new trend. Oh, that's the new fad. Right. And recognizing that, as you said, and I hadn't actually thought about it from this perspective, from like a lens of who's your target audience, right? You said, I really realized that this was really a call to the Christian woman, the one who has already been postured to receive this idea, this conviction, and similar conversations around people who have chosen not to drink alcohol, right? Or chosen not to be on social media. And there's so many lenses and conversations of people, and their conviction is based in their experience with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The most powerful thing you can do to unlock your greatness and step into your next level of abundance is to get in the room with others who have been where you want to be and perhaps are going where you want to go. But oftentimes we can put ourselves in the wrong room based on exterior vantage points, what they wear, where they go, what they do, when we know in our heart of hearts that we should be following people, standing along people who are aligned in true wealth. Stop feeling alone in the journey of growth as a business leader and an entrepreneur who loves God. Stop struggling to find the right answer when it's already been written. Stop giving up on the desires of your heart when God placed them there with intention. Stop standing in this lack mentality when your prosperity is critical for all of us in the kingdom. Come, find a seat at the table at the most impactful faith-driven business conference you will ever experience. Alongside ministry-driven marketplace leaders, you will evolve, unlock, and activate your next level. That just sounded like a video game. This is not the meta, okay? This is your IRL, your in real life chance to be in the room with some of the greatest kingdom entrepreneurs of our time. Founders, innovators, trailblazers who are God-centered are coming together to grow their business for God's sake. And that's an inside-out job. You will leave this 3-day intensive with action plans, new income strategies, fresh mentalities towards business and life integration, and a sense of freedom that will have others magnetized to what you are selling by the way you freshly and uniquely serve. It's happening on November 4th through the 6th, 2022 in Nashville, Tennessee, with a highlight VIP event on November 3rd. There are seats at the table for you, but they will go fast. It's a limited reservation, so get your tickets now at growforgod.com. Again, that's growforgod.com. I cannot wait to hug your neck. I cannot wait to see you there in person. I cannot wait for this energetic room to just light up the world, because that's what we're going to do when we leave this conference. But you got to be in the room. IRL, let's go.
I love that a lot. So I'm curious, because you said when I came to know Jesus, and that there is this pre-Nash and post-Nash. Now I only know the post-Jesus, pure Nash. So I want you to take us back to kind of the conversation of how did you come into faith? Were you, did you raised in the church, or tell us about that?
Yes, a little bit raised into a bit of a Christian household, but I think a lot of us who come from African backgrounds, we have a sense of there is somebody up there, you know. And for us, it was Christianity that was sort of taught to us from young, that God is real, Jesus is real, this is it. But it didn't mean that I had the right foundations in terms of the right doctrine or really having a personal relationship. So I only developed a personal relationship when I was like 18, 19. That's when I made a conscious decision that I want to know him for myself, not through my mom, not through this person, but for myself. And before that, again, 18 is still relatively young when I think about it now. But at that time, I felt like I was a grown person. And up until that point, I had already been very conscious of how my body came across in different looks. Like, oh, if I wear a crop top, it makes my boobs look bigger. If I wear this, it makes my bum look bigger. If I wear this, and I knew these are some of the things that will get guys' attention. So my aim for doing it was very intentional. Like, I know this is going to get me to get looks. This is going to get me to have guys approach me and things like that. So although I was younger, I still had that kind of, as the Bible puts it, a perversion of the mind, where you're already looking at what can I do to alter myself to get what I want, which is again a bit of manipulation, if you want to call it, you know, what it is, calling a spade a spade.
Yeah.
So I had already had that notion even in a younger age. So though I didn't necessarily always, I don't know, I didn't maybe go to pickpocket, I never went to clubbing. I was too young and looked way too young to even be in a club. But I still knew my heart was not pure because my intentions and the things that I wanted to achieve were not they were not good, you know, they were not kind to me or to other people. So in terms of my fashion, that's how I was before. Other than that, in terms of heart wise, I was just a very timid, very shy and fearful young girl who didn't know her identity. She didn't know her sense of self-worth. I didn't know that I was fully known and deeply loved. I didn't know what it meant to have somebody like truly believe the best for me the way Christ does. So there were so many nuances and things within the culture that I was just following just to see, oh, could this make me feel, you know, appreciated? Maybe this will make me feel loved and feel important. Maybe if I'm a bit more like this, like I was super slim. I still am slim now. But I remember being obsessive about putting weight on because all my friends had curves that I didn't have. And so there was an insecurity there of, I don't feel like a woman because I don't look like how women tend to look. If only I had thicker thighs, if only then I feel like I would feel more like a real woman. And having to unlearn that and stuff after Christ. But before Christ, this is my mindset. I just thought beauty was one way and it wasn't me. So having to unlearn that and stuff. So yeah, for me, I feel like a lot of my issues before Christ were very internal issues that showed up in different things in my life. But if you had seen me, you wouldn't have known, because you don't always see the issues that people are going through. But I know that I was very broken, very lost, just sort of shame, embarrassment, and just regrets and stuff like that, which only got taken away after I came to Christ.
Wow. I feel like your reflective self of your little child, of your little Nash, of your little daughter, right? It's really interesting how much wisdom you bring to that lens. And you do it with such love. And I think when I went through therapy for several years and we like parented and reparented that child from the lens of the father rather than through the lens of our earthly parents who do the best that they can, but they are only doing with what they know how. As you were talking, it just like took me back to that version of myself. And I think that there's a powerful component to people having that experience to be able to go back and sit. And why did I choose to do this that then became habit? What was I being influenced by that then became habit and then became okay, right? Because at some point there's a shift from, I don't really feel good about this, or this isn't the thing that I know I should be doing, to, well, I've been doing it for so long, so I might as well, because it seems to be working. But the ultimate thing that you were speaking of, even as you were talking through, well, this will get that look, this will get that affirmation, was only rooted in the fact of desiring love, right? It's not necessarily the other pieces that come along with what happens when you date or get recognition or have those words of affirmation or lust or any of that. It's really about our root desire, which is a root desire given to us by our Father, is to be seen, to be known, and to be loved. Yeah. And so I think that if we as a society and this movement of being set apart in our style, like you're essentially making, and I want to shift to that in a minute, because this is more than a business. It's truly a movement for such a time as this, is understanding that no matter what age bracket you're in, no matter what your weight looks like, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your styled culture looks like, this is a conversation that I think stems way back to that young daughter, that young child that has to be repositioned in our mind in order for our insecurities to be released and for, like you said before, our posture to change and for us to take authority in that space. It would be pretty wild to see who I believe is fully committed to the church to make these shifts.
It's definitely a big call. Sometimes it's very, I feel the weight of it to a point. Because I'm like, okay, and how I started this was definitely as a ministry as a safe place for women to learn about beauty and fashion and sense of how do you now package this new woman when she comes to Christ? How do you rebrand her for language that we're all used to?
I love that so much. Yeah.
That kind of personal branding piece, because that's what it is. It's a case of what story are you telling and do you want to tell? Who are you now? And how does that come through and how you package yourself? And so I'm really passionate about that. I have been for years, although now I feel like I've quietened down a bit in terms of taking on clients and stuff like that, but it's something that's always dear to my heart. I love seeing women see how they can become and how they can look. There's that doubt, and they're like, I don't think I could look like that, Nash. I'm like, just hold on a moment. Just hold on.
Yeah, and let me get my hands on you. Just one second.
I love it. And then seeing them in front of the mirror, I've seen women just crying. They can't believe they look like that. And they had this image that if they're going to look lovely, if they're going to look cute, if they're going to look sexy for their partner, that, you know, they need to do what the culture is doing. And so for them to see themselves like, I'm covered, but I look so good. How is this happening? That mind renewal, it's like I'm seeing it happening right in front of my eyes. And it just, I love it. That makes me so excited. And I want to do it for as many women as I can do to give them that sense of hope to see the beauty that they have, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And even as you were talking and thinking about that, I was thinking through even like bride fashion that has transformed what essentially the bride and the bridegroom are supposed to look like and what God has intended for that covenant. And that you'll see, you know, slinky dresses or more skin than white. And it's like, wait, like there has to be a reshift in what this actually means and what exchange is actually happening. And so people are being betrothed to one another in the sexual immorality that has been constructed as decent and okay and normalized. And it's sad. And I think about it specifically. Is your child a son or daughter? I haven't asked you.
A daughter.
A daughter. See, like I think about her and I'm sure it's no different than my child and my nieces and all of that. And I'm like, how do you shift this? How do you take this huge idea and impart it as a movement? And through YouTube and Instagram and all of these places that you show up, what's the like one action call that you can tell people about?
One call to action. You mean just in terms of like the style and the fashion and everything?
Yeah. Or like if you want to be set apart in your style, or if you want to be a set apart woman, even that identity piece, what could you encourage them to do to feel confident enough in order to do it? Because I think it's a bold move because it's counterculture.
Yeah. It is a bold move and it is counterculture. I think if you want to go on that journey to be like, hey, how can I really be the set apart woman? For me, it all starts with the word of God, because the word is what will give you that identity, and the word is what can really help you to see yourself through his lens. And as you see yourself through his lens, you begin to get confident. So the confidence never comes in what you put on. Like I always say that to people, as style, it's not the dress that makes you look beautiful. You are beautiful. The dress is just coming to confirm what already was. You see what I mean? So it's
100%
about that piece of understanding yourself through God's lens. So it has to be a word thing first. And then after that, on a practical level, you have to date yourself. You have to date yourself. You need to be like, what do I like? What don't I like? Why don't I like it? Stalk Pinterest. Look at looks that you like. Who inspires you? Who doesn't inspire you? What do you like about their looks? What do they have in common? You know, you start peeking. You might realize like, oh my gosh, they always wear hats. I love hats. I'm going to go in, you know, I'm going to have hats in my wardrobe. Or I love big earrings. I love color. Oh, I seem to always love dark tones, but they always have this kind of shape. And you know, you start to see a trend and a theme when you start to collect albums of things you like. And then even if you don't have the budget, take yourself window shopping, go into a store that you like, and just go to the changing room and try on loads of different clothes. Take pictures of yourself in the same items you saw on Pinterest and see how you feel. And then when you can invest in the pieces that you like, I liked how those jeans made me feel. I liked when I put that jumper, like, you know, that sweater, as you guys say in the States, we say jumper in the UK. You know, I like how it looked on me. Oh, I like the one that had the V-neck rather than the round neck. Play with shape. So then the more you do that, you start to see what God has put in you, like your personality shine. And that's what I think really helps in terms of finding your set apart style and being counterculture in this culture. And then one of the things that I always get is, yeah, but Nash, I've tried that and the shops don't have modest clothing. I have that all the time. Then I'll say, come and watch my YouTube channel and I'll show you where I shop, you know. But I think that it's true that some of the stores don't have clothes catered to us because we are not their target market. But there are some brands arising, and I do think sometimes it's how you look at it. They may call it a top. They may call it a skirt, but I would call it a top. So I would style it with skinny jeans. So I don't let the culture tell me what the item is. Because I'll look at it, I'm like, this cannot be a dress.
That would not work.
Like, where is the rest of this dress? It's just like a belt. Like, so I'll be like, let me try it as a belt, you know? Let me layer it up.
Awesome.
So it's changing things up, you know? If it's a button-up shirt, wear it open over skinny jeans and a tank top. Like, it's about what can it become, not just what did they say it is. And that, I think, is something that comes from our father, you know? He looks at us as the clay, broken and with nothing. And he says, "What? Who could you become?" And he gives us form. So for me, I lean into that side of God to say, "God, this dress is not working. I need a dress for a wedding. What can I do?" And he'll literally be like, "Add this, add that." I'll be inspired, like, try this jacket you have. Do you remember this? I'm like, that scarf, let me try it. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't know, you know?
That's brilliant. It is, and it's so fun. And I loved the three applicable ways of doing that. Getting in the word, what does he say about it? Mm-hmm. Date yourself. I mean, come on. I don't know that I've ever heard that, honestly, unless people are talking about self-love, which is, this is not that. This is not that. And then also to go and shop and window shop, set that list. I love the Pinterest idea. I do Pinterest boards. And when people are starting to create their ideal avatar or create their brand, because that visual piece is so critical. And I adore the component of him looking at us as clay. What can this become? And the understanding that, like, we are not our body, right? We are our soul. We are the Holy Spirit within us. We are a being, not our body. And if we're able to activate from that being, when you walk into the room, doesn't matter what you're wearing, you could be wearing a trash bag and someone's like, "Girl, you look good. You're shining," right? Yeah. And you can feel so confident, but it's the inner confidence that you are so focused on that I adore. That is the confidence that God restores and literally sharpens every single day. So this has just been such an anointed conversation. I know it's literally for so many more women than you might think, even women who are outside of the depth of faith that you have. But there's an exploring process and a conviction and a sanctification process that has to happen for our becoming. And I'm prayerful for all of them. Do you have any final words? And I know they can get on all your social media. Your links are all added already below. But where do you hang out most? Where can we come hang out and shop with you?
Instagram. I'm always in the stories, sharing something daily, pretty much. So yeah, Instagram is my main hangout, followed by YouTube. And every so often I podcast, but we're working on that.
I love it. Yes. Got to keep it up. It's consistency. Well, Nash, it's been such a pleasure. I am honored to know you and excited to see how your movement continues to expand to glorify God. It's such a good one.
No, thank you for having me. This show is awesome. And I love this conversation. I just love the authenticity of your show and just how Christ is so central. So thank you for helping us sharpen our faith with this platform. I'm really grateful. So thank you.
Love you, Nash. Thank you so much. It's a joy.
Bye. Thank you.
Hey, y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts and fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way.